today is the fourth of the series that I'm doing on simple, basic salvation. And, you know, like I say, we've got a juggling act going on in here. For some people, it's been here like Clint and Ralph, and somebody's been in here for 35 years. And then we got people who've just started to come, some people not grounded in the faith yet. But I always love to hear the basic salvation message. It's what saves. Okay? I mean, you can get up here and have an eloquent speaker, and you can watch him on television or go somewhere to these conferences. I'm going to tell you what you're going to hear when you go to a conference. If there's 15 preachers, you're going to hear 15 salvation messages. That's what you're going to hear. And nobody gets tired of hearing the salvation messages. If they did, they wouldn't go to a conference, because that's a given what you're going to hear every time. But basically, last week, what we were talking about was the Jews being under the law. If the Jew obeyed the law, then he would be forgiven. That's what the whole situation was. And if he didn't obey the law of Moses, then he wouldn't be forgiven. Some basic things. But the law made the Jew what we call sin conscious. It was always in his mind to turn him from away from his sins unto the Lord. That's what the law did. And that was the purpose of the law, to turn him to the Lord for forgiveness. Go over to Romans chapter 3 with me, would you? We're going to go to verse 20. As far as what Paul wrote for us in this dispensation, and we're living in the dispensation of the grace of God, in verse 20, Paul writes, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." This is what I wanted you to see out of this. "For by the law is the knowledge of sin." The law is good. We're just not under it for salvation purposes. But if you could adhere to the law, your life would be wonderful. It really would. But the law put that Jew under a forgiveness program, and he had to continually confess and offer sacrifices. The sacrifices never did take care of it permanently like the Lamb of God did for us. One time, and that was it. But through the law, the Jew had that conscience of sins. It's just horrible to me look back in there and think about that. I'm glad I'm living in this area, this age. This is the best time to have ever lived because of this. You know, when you've got the conscience of sins about you, you're under condemnation all the time. And I know there's a lot of people in here, there's a lot of people that saved Christians, real Christians, saved. They have problems with the sin they're committing. They've got a conscience of sin. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit, is try to get out from under that. Because you are a sinner in the flesh. But if you're saved by God's grace through faith, then you're 100% righteous in the Spirit. See, what is saved about each and every person in here that is a saint who is in the body of Christ is just like myself. You look at me and you see, well, he's got flesh, blood, and bone. That's true. But what you see, what people judge, what you judge me about, and hopefully you don't because you're in the same situation, is never going to go to the kingdom of God. This is going back to the dust. And that's where people have they can't see that point. That they look at you and you tell them that you're saved, and they can point things out about just how big of a hypocrite Gilbert said I was up here. Or he was. Yes. In the flesh, we are hypocrites because we're carnal, soul unto sin. That's obvious, okay? But the condemnation that them Jews went under by their confession and their sacrifices once a year is resulting in God's forgiveness. God forgave them once a year on the Day of Atonement when those sacrifices were made. God forgave them of their sins for that year. Go back, going over to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 1. We're talking about the work of the law. For the law, having a shadow of things, of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, you can underline that, whatever you want, can never, with those sacrifices that those guys offered once a year, those priests, which they offered year by year, continually, you heard that word continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Could not make the children of Israel perfect. It was a yearly deal. We've got one. The Lamb of God went and shed his blood on Calvary for you and for me and for the sins of the world. It was a one-time deal. But you know what? In those sins that were sacrificed for, every year there was a remembrance. The Jew remembered those sins year by year by year. We're supposed to get rid of them out of our mind. You've been forgiven. Why think on things of past? But that's what people do. But them Jews had an outgoing remembrance now, because the sin of the blood of animals could not take away their sins. Now, forgiveness in the four Gospels, we're talking about time past. Something happened in time past. You know, the forgiveness in the four Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is according to what? Or was according to the law of Moses. But you can find in churches out here people preaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they throw a little Paul in, they jumble it up, and it's so messed up you can't even hardly get a straight gospel from any church anymore. An assembly. When I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about a physical church. I'm not talking about the church that we're saved in, which is called the body of Christ, an invisible spiritual church as Christ is the head. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the church, the people who walk into a building in the assembly. They're listening to this. They're jumbling up those pastors. The Satan has got his angels of darkness in the pulpits. I don't even know they even know that they're telling the falsehood. Because in the seminaries, there's a statistic, I can't really cite it right now, of the number of people who enter into seminaries believing in the virgin birth and other things, and they coming out of the Baptist and all the seminaries not believing that any longer. What's happening? See, that's a bad deal. Satan looks like he's winning the war, but he's not. He may have won a battle, but he's going to lose the war. No doubt about it. But forgiveness in the four Gospels is by the law of Moses. Go over to Romans chapter 15, would you? Let's see what it says. Let's see what Paul wrote.
Hey, Byron?
Yes.
Those people come out of seminaries today?
Yes.
Less than half believe in the virgin birth.
Is it half?
Yeah.
See, that ain't no joke.
A lot of folks.
So what are the people out here who are your children? It's like Paul's fixing to have a new boy. He's got a little daughter. My nephew's got two children here. What are they supposed to do, these kids, as they're growing up? They're going to be taught something that sure is not going to be the virgin birth. It's a shame, guys. And I'm with what Gilbert said. Hey, you may know the salvation plan inside and out, upside down, and everything else, but have you told anybody about it? Put the burden on you. Have you told anybody? Are you a servant of Jesus Christ? See, that makes a difference. That makes us all want to cringe and get over in a corner and say, well, I didn't do my job this week. Well, did you get paid to do the job? Yes, you did. You got eternal life out of the deal. If that's not payment enough, I don't know what you can ask for. Eternal life. Now, Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Isn't that something? That Jesus Christ was the minister of the circumcision? Why do they preach that we want to follow Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry? That's what they preach. What would Jesus do? Got the banners, got the name tags and the bracelet. What would Jesus do? Well, Jesus walked around the face of this earth to train some people for his earthly kingdom. But he went to Calvary and he died for you and he died for me. There's a difference. There is a difference. But he is a minister of the circumcision. Christ's earthly ministry was to who? Israel. Not you. I read a lot. I try to garner a lot of information and condense it down like statistics and things like that. It's a lot of work and effort, and I don't mind it, just so I can tell you about it. Because I know you don't have the time. You got your life going on. You got bond here, you got witnessing there, and you don't have time to read that. So sometimes I gather some information and tell you such things as I just mentioned, and Joe verified with 50% of the virgin birth. Is not, those ministers don't know anything about it. But he's a minister of the circumcision. If anybody can read, why don't they believe that? While I'm on that, I want to go somewhere, not in my notes, but go over to Galatians. We've been there 100 times, but it's very important that you see this. Whether you see it or you don't, you need to see it. Because somebody's going to tell you something different. Galatians chapter 2. Paul says in verse 6, because see, he went up to Jerusalem after 14 years by the revelation of Jesus Christ, and that's in verse 1. But in verse 6, Paul says, but of these, the people he was talking to, who seemed to be somewhat, in other words, I hate to use the word big shot or something like that. I'm just going to say mayors and legislators and those kind of things. Somebody of stature, and they think worthy of themselves, which they shouldn't. But of these who seemed to be somewhat whatsoever they were, maybe it don't matter to me. So God accepted no man's person, for they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. So let that sentence right there have an effect upon you and who you witness to. Just because the guy's the president of the company and you just happen to be a worker does not mean you shouldn't go and speak to him. I can tell you, and I never asked Gilbert, but I guarantee you, whoever owns that Kirby dealership he works for right there, he's witness to it. Don't let anybody's person, stature, money, his wealth, his notoriety hamper you in talking to that individual about the Lord. Now, verse 7. But contrarywise, when they, that's these people that he was just talking to, saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me. Committed to me, Paul said, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Now, there's something in that that I want you to get. I went over it a lot of times, but in verse 7, it says, the gospel of the uncircumcision. Gospel of the uncircumcision. And there's a gospel of the circumcision. There's two different gospels there. Okay? Now, I'm going to show you something. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me to the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, that's Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars, we know what the pillar of the community is, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we, that's Paul, we should go, find out where I'm at.
Verse 9.
Yeah, I've got to find the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I've done a study on this heathen word. That heathen right there is talking about a Gentile. Okay? Now, there is some people, and because all of the Old Testament cannot be wrong. All the references that I know of the word heathen is a Gentile in the Old Testament. If I'm wrong, you need to show me. But the fact of it is, a heathen can be somebody who is an absolute non-believer. But the heathen and the children of Israel are two different things. Now, back to what I'm showing here. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. They and we are two different things. But of is the same. There's a gospel of the uncircumcision. There's a gospel of the circumcision. It did not say two or two. And this is what basically all the new versions that's created from Westcott and Horton's Greek New Testament, which is a corrupted text taken from the minority text, built all the new Bibles and translations upon. Most of them has got the word two. If you use the word two, then they can preach one gospel. And it's the same. Peter's and Paul's gospel is identical if it's the word two. But look again. Underline it. Let it sink in your head. It says of the circumcision and of the uncircumcision, not to them. So that's an important fact. If you get nothing but that today, that's the most important thing about that verse that I can show you. It's of, not to. Now, we talked about that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, the Jews. He came as a Jew, didn't he, Jesus Christ? He was a Jew. He was born of the seed of David, which was an offshoot of the root of Jesse. We know that. That's what the Scriptures told us. Peter says he was raised from the dead to sit on the throne of David. That's a true fact. Paul says he was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That's a true fact. They're both contrary one to the other. How do you decide what to believe? You rightly divide the word of truth. Because there's a lot of gospels, approximately 11 in here. But we're not concerned about that many. We're concerned about two right now, the circumcision and the uncircumcision. We're concerned about the gospel of Christ that he preached. Gilbert showed you earlier in here that he preached that to the Jews and those who blessed the Jews. Gave alms to the people. That's who Paul started preaching to. Did not preach to the heathen, which is in Ephesians chapter 2. In time past, we were without God, without hope in the world. No, that's not who he started preaching to. He preached to get that remnant of election of grace. That's what the Scripture says. Now, but we got to establish something. We know it in here. But when you go out, you need to tell somebody. Christ's earthly ministry was to Israel, not to us. He was a minister to the circumcision, the Jews. He came as a Jew according to something, according to prophecy. There's not prophecy taking place in here today. The fact of it is, I saw John Impey last night on television, and he's just full of prophecy. The man can quote every scripture in this entire King James Bible. Well, he's got the right Bible, but he's in the wrong time period. Now, go to Galatians chapter 4, would you? Verse 4. See what Paul says about this. Paul writes, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, under the law. How could you read that any different? He was made under the law. And it's prophecy. But the law was in effect throughout the entire ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. How about going over to Matthew chapter 15? All the Bible is written for your learning and admonition, but it's not all written directly to you. And I learned that from Brother Moore. Praise God for Brother Moore. But in Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, Jesus said this, but he answered and said, this is what Jesus said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's pretty good, huh? The lost sheep is Israel. He was only sent unto them. You can't misconstrue that scripture if you'll just read it. You can't. That's elementary. Anybody, I could read that when I was in the sixth grade and actually understand that. The four Gospels are all about Christ's ministry according to the lost, to his lost sheep, and there is Israel. But the law of Moses, it reigned from the time that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai the law until what? The Apostle Paul. And forgiveness was according to the law when Christ was here. Now, if you go to Matthew 23, we go over here to make applications. We don't go over here to pull any doctrine out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you notice in Matthew chapter 23, what you have here is Moses is talking to a multitude of people, and he's telling them to follow Moses and the law. Then spake Jesus unto the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. They were sitting in the seat of Moses. Christ is teaching the multitudes to follow Moses. Did you get anything else out of that other than that? That's what he's teaching them himself? Follow Moses and the law. These instructions that he's giving here is not for you and me in the dispensation of the grace of God. It just isn't. The four Gospels are about God's program with his earthly people, Israel. Not to you. I mean, it just really hurts me to see this being taught on television. I can't stand it. I have to turn it. And that's why I don't go to all these churches out here. Even whenever we're... Sometimes they got a revival going on, and I think, I were to go over there and hear them. But I refuse to go hear somebody that's not going to preach the truth. You can call it ignorance on their part. Ignorance is no excuse. We mentioned that in here the other day. You run a stop sign, you're going to get a ticket. You go tell the judge, well, I didn't know it was what that meant. Well, yeah, you did. You got a driver's license, don't you? You had to pass the test. This is what the Word of God says. You get to the great white throne judgment, it's too late. You can't holler ignorance on your part. He give you the manual. Okay? That's just what he did. Now, John, if you would, go to John chapter 20. Verse 23. If you notice in verse 22, though, Christ says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. 2022. The fact of it is, he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He didn't tell us that. But in verse 23, Christ says this. Jesus does. Jesus Christ. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But this passage needs to be understood in its correct dispensation. It's not for you. There's no way that it is. Christ did give authority to his disciples there to remit and retain sins. No doubt about it. Why? It's in anticipation of his coming kingdom of heaven. That's what it was about. His coming kingdom. But Israel's rejection, and we know by reading the scriptures of their king, God postponed the kingdom. They put it on pause, remember? Happened right like this. Acts. Grace period. Oh, time out. Pause it. The kingdom of heaven has been postponed. It will come back. will be true. It will be 1,000 years, 7 years after the tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble. But he put it on hold. And, you know, I've got friends right now who believe in the promises of Abraham. And they claim those promises. But he put those promises on hold, too. It's not written to us. And believe me, there's not a spiritual Israelite in this room. It's, when you're reading anything, you've got to be able to discern what's right and what's wrong about the scriptures. Because if you're reading a book, and there's some good books, the best book is this one. But if you want to read other people's commentaries, and that's what a book is, then you're getting their opinion. My suggestion would be to you first is to read the scriptures. Read the entire Bible. Well, I ain't got time. Yeah, you do. You got time to die, and you will. So why not take the opportunity while you're here to read this? Can you imagine going to the judgment seat of Christ? You're saved. You're going to the judgment seat of Christ not knowing what this book says, and you can do that. As long as somebody has preached to you the gospel of your salvation, it's powerful. It's the power of God. You can get there. But can you imagine going over to the great white throne judgment, if there's anybody that's lost in here, and you get up there and you plead ignorance, and he says, well, you know, everything was right here. Why didn't you read it? Well, I didn't have time. I'm a busy guy. But I'm going to tell you, I make time for this. I may not make time for Carol or Trish or anybody else, but I actually make time for this. Because it's the most important aspect of a person's life. Your wife is important to you. Your better half is important to you. Your children are important to you. But they're not nowhere as important as this Word of God is to you. I don't care. You can lose a child. But this Word of God's going to be with you always. And we're going to talk about that next week, probably. How that Word is embellished in your heart, in your mind, once you're saved. Now, if you would, see, I want you to go over to Matthew chapter 6. But see, there's so many eras. You know, that's where our Father which art in heaven is at. There's so many eras that's being preached out of Matthew chapter 6 in all these churches, you know. This was written to Israel in anticipation of the coming kingdom of heaven, is what it was. It's written to who? Israel. Not a word of it in this age of grace. Over in Matthew chapter 6, would you? Verse 14. For, there's a word, for, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there I have never forgiven. But I've been forgiven, so that doesn't pertain to me, does it? Have you forgiven everybody that's ever harmed you in any form or fashion? You may have given a lip service and said, Father, let me just forgive. I want to forgive everybody that I've ever harmed and said a bad word to. But what if you, right after that, you got it in your heart on the way home from wherever, whatever you're doing, and you forgot to give that person. Going by this, your sins are not forgiven, and you're lost, doomed, and bound. You're condemned to an everlasting life in the lake of fire. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. But in this dispensation of the grace of God, Paul's doctrine that you find in Romans through Philemon on forgiveness instructs us to do something. Forgive because we are forgiven. Not to be forgiven. There's a real difference. I find myself now, I want to forgive people. But I used to not. I'm telling you. But I know I don't have to forgive Richard Darby over here for my salvation. No. Jesus Christ took care of that for me. Under grace, unmerited favor, you didn't deserve any of it. Do what, Jim?
Yeah, in relation to this, the Lord's Prayer is the same thing. It says, forgive us as we forgive those.
Yep.
Ask Him for forgiveness when on the cross it's already done. You have to ask for it before the cross. That's
true. Absolutely. Matthew 6, it will look. The people are teaching this every day. You know, we sit here, we shake our heads, and we know the truth about this, yet still, when we go out and want to witness to somebody, we find that we don't tell them all of it. We back off a little bit because we're afraid to offend our family and our friends. Well, I'm telling you, like I've told you so many times, I'd rather offend my brother, my aunt, my mother, or anybody that's kin to me, or any good friend of mine, if I can tell him or her the gospel. I'd rather be offended and them never speak a word to me again than never to have told them at all. Here's where we're at. We see that the law was given unto Israel. We know that we're in the dispensation of the grace of God. We have been forgiven. It's a done deal. But now just because your sins have been forgiven, does that mean you're saved? No, it doesn't. Until you trust the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That happened at the crucifixion. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. God gave Jesus' blood on that cross as a payment for your sinful nature and all your sins. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. But reckon yourself indeed dead unto sin. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your Savior. Trust Him. You can't say it any simpler. And we're going to continue to go through this series that I've got. And it's simple, and I just love the simplicity of it. Because you know what? That's what it says in the Scripture. It's the simplicity of the gospel. God does not want anybody to complicate His word. You know, there's people out there that got, you know, probably words that's 14 letters long where you can say it with, like, okay. But in other words, they try to impress you with their oratory skills and their speech. And they went to school for years. They have pride built up in them, and they want to be recognized as those scribes and those Sadducees and those Pharisees who were praying in the streets. They wanted people to look at them and think something of them. Pride and vanity. When you leave here today, lose that pride and lose that vanity and just share the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God with somebody, just one person. Make a goal for yourself this week. Just one person. That's not asking too much, is it? If you meet someone in a grocery store, just say, are you saved? If not, here's a tract. Here's a card. Let me tell you about my Savior, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for me, and He paid my sin debt. I've been forgiven. And if you'd like to hear any more, I'd be glad to talk to you, or you can come to the church at 111 Roslyn Way on Wednesday night or a Sunday. And I'm going to leave you with that.